For Connecticut Public Radio, I'm John Henry Smith. Now, if you pay attention to the news, you've no doubt heard often in the last month or so something to the effect of, despite high unemployment numbers nationwide, businesses can't find enough workers as they try and reopen. That's my Walter Cronkite voice. To help us take a deeper dive beyond that headline, I welcome a labor economist to the program. He is Central Connecticut State University Associate Professor Brian Osoba. Brian, are the extra unemployment benefits given out during the pandemic the culprit here, as I've heard so many business owners postulate?
The extra unemployment benefits would have, most economists would agree, a negative effect on labor supply, at least for the lowest income workers, for a worker who makes, let's say, less than $15 an hour. That's a half week's worth of work pay that they're being supplied in that check, those extra benefits. So we would expect that the lower paid workers, it would tend to suppress some of their wages, or I'm sorry, some of their work hours.
I've heard some economists argue that the labor shortage is simply a case of businesses not being willing to pay a decent wage to lure workers back, who, now that those workers have seen life without their jobs and decided that, hey, you know, the conditions and the rewards for those jobs weren't good enough to return to. But on the other hand, you hear businesses say, after being squeezed financially during the pandemic, they have no extra pay to offer. So what do you make of both arguments?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting one. And that's, again, where there's multiple variables. On the one hand, sure, firm owners in certain industries have been, had a tough year. And so they may not have too much to give extra. And however, it really depends on their customer base. Let's take restaurants as an example. If you're running a white tablecloth restaurant, your customers will have a lot less price sensitivity. You know, if they want to go out to eat, they're more likely to go out to eat. And if the prices have gone up, so be it. They understand. But for customers of, a cheaper kind of restaurant, fast food and whatnot, they're going to be much more price sensitive, and it's much more competitive environment. And so those business owners are going to have a tougher time raising prices to cover the higher wages. And so that's when we start, maybe looking at, can the higher priced workers be replaced with some sort of automation? And so that's where you can think of, there's a place in Pennsylvania I'm familiar with called Sheetz that offers food where the customers come in and they have a whole bunch of menus they can choose from, and would more of a fast food place start looking at that. It could be a push factor for those type of restaurants.
Connecticut is offering $1,000 bonuses after 2 months on the job for the first 10,000 people who return to work from long-term unemployment. House Minority Leader Vincent Candelora says that's a needless bribe. He used the word bribe, and that Governor Lamont should simply opt out of the $300 weekly unemployment bonus program. What do you make of the governor's strategy here?
I think it certainly would increase the labor supply if people know that they're going to get that bonus. The issue is whether it's the $1,000 or the $300, the money from that, the group of people receiving that money is going to be spent almost fully. And then what is that going to do in the economy? It's going to multiply. It's going to create all sorts of additional spending in the economy. Now, the one counter argument is who's going to pay for this? Obviously, if the state has the money, but I know there's a lot of, there could be political arguments against, maybe paying out those benefits. But from an economist's point of view, it should increase both labor supply and also the economic growth in the economy due to the increased spending.
Is there something structural that's changed the dynamic between workers and employers as you see it? Or 1 year from now, do you expect hiring and job seeking to be as they were?
Yeah, another interesting issue. And remember, the labor market, the labor force is not a monolith. You have people, across the spectrum. Some people, you have to think about the dependent care issues. Do they have children or elderly at home? And are they willing to go back whether on a temporary or permanent basis, if they have people at home that they have to care for and maybe could be at risk of getting COVID, especially if there's some variant that becomes immune to the vaccine. But the other thing is, are these temporary or permanent effects on things like risk perception? Just like in the Great Depression, when people became fearful of putting their money in banks or investing, and that was a generation long effect, at least for some portion of the population. So it is interesting that maybe workers, given that they've seen that work can be done online from home, maybe there is a structural change in their thinking, and now they're gonna start negotiating for different types of work or flexible. Flexibility, and maybe they'll go into the office some days, but they'll demand that they need to be home a certain amount of times.
Well, labor economist and Central Connecticut State Associate Professor Brian Osoba, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, John Henry, and it's been my pleasure.